it's even easy to become proud of being a Christian. And in one sense, we are proud. We're unashamed of it. It's a glorious thing to be a Christian. And we want to tell the world. We want even to go public and let it be known that the Lord has redeemed us and saved us. But even there is the danger of Phariseeism, of thinking that we're better, of thinking that somehow we are more important, of thinking that we have in some way done it even by ourselves. To be a Christian calls us to renounce confidence in the flesh.
Thank you for joining us here on Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, and we're on the air each day, of course, to bring you the message of the gospel. Today we're looking at Matthew 5 again, and this whole matter of the extent of the law and the call to seek forgiveness rather than be angry with our brother. This is the sermon by our Lord Jesus on the Mount, and I want to read to you from Matthew 5, verse 21. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way first, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. So these are the words of our Lord Jesus and the exhortation that we are to make peace and we are not to be troublemakers. But it also teaches us the extent of the law, how it reads the thoughts, the motives of the heart, as well as the actions, and of course our attitude is as important as our actions. So take heed to the Lord's word here today, and I trust that you will stay tuned as we move now to the message on the extent of the law from the pulpit of our church here in Cloverdale. The other word, thou fool, the Greek word is moron, or moros, from which we get moron, and that means to be given up, someone who's to be totally discounted, given over. And this is to give up on someone because they've been abandoned by God. But we as Christians are not to give up. We're not to look at somebody and say, there's a worthless soul. No, the whole ministry of the Lord Jesus, the whole attitude of our Lord and of the New Testament is that every soul is eternally valuable. And while we may not like the way they live, with the things they do, the things they say, nor even the things they do or say to us, yet we are called to seek to win them and lead them and guide them into the truth as it is in the Lord Jesus. Now, the positive side of this, we're not to say raka, we're not to say thou fool, we're not to cast aside and to say you're worthless. Then the positive side of this command is that we are to build up and we are to be a blessing. And you remember the words of the Lord Jesus? By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, when ye love one another. Ye love one another. And this is a great command to you and to me, that we
in the church, especially in the church, express our own zeal and desire to be a blessing to the people of God. Now, this is sacrificial love. This is agape love, the love that's going to cost you, the love that's going to mean self-denial, the love that's going to be expensive and costly. This is something that every one of us are to do, to be showing and expressing the love of the Lord. The Bible teaches us about the elder. The elder is to be given to hospitality. Now, he's the leader in the church. He is to be the one who's leading by example and to be encouraging, not only in word, but in deed. And he's to be given to hospitality, that generous spirit, so that he will, in practical terms, seek to encourage and fellowship with God's people. There's a number of verses for that. We'll not look at them all here tonight, but I'll read one to you, Romans 12:13. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Now, do you do that? Given? Are you by nature? That's your bent, that's your desire. You seek opportunity to be hospitable and to build up other. Hospitality, by the way, simply means fond of guests, seeking their fellowship and to commune with them, that you might build them up and be a blessing. How do we do that? Well, you can open your home, but I think more than that, you need to open your heart. That's the first step. Open your heart. Maybe use your lunch hour at work as that opportunity when you can take those few minutes just to express that hospitality. Invite your colleague at work or a friend, say, look, let's go for lunch. Let's take this hour together. And by that means, you use that opportunity to build up and to be a blessing. I heard of one program that a church was encouraging where people in the church are exhorted to once a week meet with somebody to read the Bible. It's not very difficult. You don't have to be a theologian or an apologist in the doctrines of the gospel. You can just take your Bible and say, well, we'll read this passage, and whatever discussion comes out of it, comes out of it. And we'll take that time together, and I'll meet with you. I'll set the time, and we'll get together and just read the Bible together. That is Christian love in action, seeking that opportunity. Maybe visit in their home, drop in, call, maybe just a phone call, and say, have you got a minute? And by that means, we will be in a positive way fulfilling this sixth commandment. And that is God's way of blessing his people and encouraging his people. Now, the next one here in verse 23 to 24, you'll see that the spiritual nature of the law extends to seeking reconciliation. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. So the picture here is someone going to the temple, and they're going to worship God, and they have just, I've had a problem with that brother. I need to go talk to him first. Bring that into the church now. You're coming to church, Sunday's coming, and we're going to be sitting somewhere, invisible to one another, singing out of the same hymn book, worshiping the same God. My responsibility, if I'm going to really enter into worship, is to go to that brother. And I think the picture is given here that the offense is caused by you, and you go and you do all that you can to put it right. And so worship is on hold until reconciliation is made. And only then shall we be heard. And the Bible does tell us that if we regard iniquity in our hearts, the Lord will not hear us. And if any conflict comes up between a brother, reconciliation is first and foremost. And so to attempt to just sing and pray and ignore it, that's going to be detrimental to you and to the Christian. And because the law is spiritual, it affects our worship. The Pharisee never took this into account. He just thought about public impression. He just thought about being the big guy, be standing in the corner with long faces to be seen of men. But we're seen by the Lord. And he knows the attitudes, the issues that go on within the heart. This matter affects, of course, the whole life of the Christian and the whole life of the church. I wonder, has someone asked you for forgiveness, but you've refused it? You said, I won't talk to you. I won't get into this. I won't even seek to put it right. Let's ignore it. And it's only a festering problem. Well, here's the Lord's word on the matter. Might be a reluctance to shake hands. You go to church, I'm going to sit on this side because that brother's over on that side, and I'm going to make sure we don't bump into each other. I don't have to talk to him or her. And with that kind of attitude, how are you going to worship? And so it becomes pointless. And so it is our duty to keep this commandment, seek that reconciliation. Then also, in verse 25, it extends to agreement with an adversary. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge to deliver thee to the officer, and thou be put into prison. Now we know that a Christian is not to go to court or to law. 1 Corinthians 6 teaches us that very clearly. We're not to settle our differences before the world. We are to agree with our adversary readily, speedily, at first opportunity. We ought to be the one pushing the agenda to get this matter settled. And in this keeping of the Beatitude, of course, blessed are the peacemakers. We have had that already in this passage. And this is heart religion. This is not just the outward appearance. This is what's going on in your life, in your heart, in your soul. And when you get on your knees and you try to cry to God in prayer, that this doesn't come up as an obstacle, that the Lord will not hear your prayers and your cries. Now, of course, it takes a perfect, sinless man or woman to keep the whole law of God in spirit. And none of us can do it. There's only one person who ever walked this world that kept the law of God physically and spiritually. And that was our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we need his righteousness. That's why we need his gospel. That's why in the flesh no man can live the Christian life. That's why we must be converted. And that's why we must renounce our own righteousness or our own attainments to godliness, realizing that everything we've done and touched is stained by imperfection. We need the perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus. And so we learn that no man can keep the law fully. No man can rightly boast, as the rich young ruler tried to do, that he had kept the law of God from his youth up. That's impossible. No man has done it. And once you confess that you cannot keep the law of God to perfection, you soon realize that you need a perfect Savior. And now we can preach the gospel to you. And now we can present to you the one who is the perfect answer to the sinful state of men. And then you can begin to comprehend the wonder of the plan of salvation through the life and work of the Lord Jesus. Not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Now all of this came out tonight out of the extent of the law. The arm of the law reaches not just the physical appearance of the man or woman. The arm of the law goes right into the recesses of your heart, to your thought life, to your motives, to your intentions, to your desires. And oh, what a nest of sin the law finds right in there. And thereby, the law alone can condemn. And when you feel the guilt of the law upon you, you need to cry out for the gospel. You need to go to the cross now. And we're back to the cross. We're back to glorying in the way of redemption by the righteousness of another. And of course, the gospel sets us free. There is no condemnation. Free from the law, oh happy condition. That's the boast and the joy of the Christian. And that's what makes us the happiest people in the world. We don't want to be depending on the law. We don't want to be justified by our own goodness. We are done with that way that only condemns. We are now saved by the blood and saved by the cross. Now, I came across this poem by Ralph Erskine, a poem on law and gospel. The two are opposites, and yet they're married together. This is the wonder of the gospel scheme. Let's read this. The law, supposing I have all, does ever for perfection call. The gospel suits my total want, and all the law can seek does grant. The law could promise life to me if my obedience perfect be. But grace does promise life upon my Lord's obedience alone. The law says do and life you'll win, but grace says live, for all is done. The former cannot ease my grief, the latter yields me full relief. The law will not abate a mite, the gospel all the sum will quit. There God in threatenings is arrayed, and here in promises displayed. The law excludes, not boasting vain, but rather feeds it to my bane. But gospel grace allows no boasts, save in the King, the Lord of hosts. The law brings terror to molest. The gospel gives the weary rest. The one does flags of death display. The other shows the living way. Three more stanzas and we're done. The law's a house of bondage sore. The gospel opens prison doors. The first me hammered in its net. The last at freedom kindly set. An angry God the law revealed, the gospel shows him reconciled. But that I know he was displeased, by this I see his wrath appeased. The law still shows a fiery face, the gospel shows a throne of grace. There justice rides alone in state, but here she takes the mercy seat. Lo, in the law Jehovah dwells, but Jesus is concealed, whereas the gospel's nothing else but Jesus Christ revealed. Do you get it? Yes, there's law, and the law will never go away. But there's another way to heaven. It's the way of the cross, the way of liberty, the way of grace that sets us free from condemnation. And you today may be living with the guilt of sin, the weight of sin, and it's crushing you and it's driving you to despair. I want to announce that there is now for you a perfect righteousness, all accomplished, and it's given by a gift from a loving Savior who will welcome you home. This is the opposite to Phariseeism. I beg you, don't live the Pharisee's life. Don't be a Pharisee. Don't allow that tendency to trust in the law for your Christian life or for your way to heaven, but rather trust the finished work of the cross. Let me ask you, are you leaning on the cross tonight? I fear there's someone here tonight and you're crushed in heart, burdened by the weight of sin. Is there any remedy for you? Is there any balm for your soul? Yes, the gospel, the way of the cross, to boast in the finished work of Calvary. I trust this insight tonight will drive you to your knees to trust in the cross, in the finished work. And do not boast in what you can do or what you may have done, but only in what your Savior has already done and what he's yet to do for you.
Thank you again for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak. And I hope you'll take to heart my exhortation, my plea. Do not be a Pharisee. Do not be filled with religion without true repentance and without being reconciled to God through the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Well, here we find that the person who is saved will agree with his adversary quickly. That's the attitude of reconciliation that is born into the heart of the true Christian. And this is heart religion, heart religion. And that's what the Bible demands. That's what heaven demands. And that's the only way by which you will enter into heaven, when you have your heart changed. And that's why the Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Ye must be born again." The heart that's filled with bitterness and hatred will not enter into the kingdom of God. You need a new heart. Now, it takes a perfect sinless man or woman to keep the law in spirit. And that means not just signing off on the letter of the law, the do's and don'ts, but the right attitude, the right seeking God's glory and honor, and not our own. And the only person who ever did that is the Lord Jesus. He is the perfect Redeemer, and therefore he's the perfect Savior that we need, because he was sinless. Now, the arm of the law reaches right into the heart and into the thought life. And there we must seek forgiveness and we must plead for mercy with God. We're not saved by our works, but we are saved by the blood of the cross. Do you understand that? You're saved by the blood that Jesus shed, which flowed out of his wounds on Calvary, and by pleading that blood as your own redeeming power, you are saved. And so there is this mighty power of the gospel, which is God's way of saving your soul. Let me exhort you to send for our little booklet called A New Beginning. It's a 32-page booklet, full color, and it is laid out in categories to help you to understand the gospel. It starts with man's need, his state of sin, and how he needs to be reconciled to God. And then after getting to all the depths of our sin, it leads you to the Redeemer, to the Savior. And there is a chapter there speaking of Christ. Now, this is not a theological book. This is just a help. And there are certain headings under these categories with Bible verses that you can look up and build your own information. It's more like a personal Bible study that will help you to know how to have peace with God through the Lord Jesus. And when you learn the principles of the gospel, the way by which God saves his people, then you're given some Bible verses or promises to plead, to call on the Lord to save you. And then it shows you how to live as a Christian, how to live the Christian life in a biblical, godly manner. So I'm exhorting that you send for this booklet. It's called A New Beginning. It's written by Dr. Alan Kearns. Now you can get a read on this on our website. So you can go there and actually read it. But if you want your own personal copy, just let us know. So the announcements are coming up. Take note. And we look forward to hearing from you very soon. This is Ian Gallagher. Thank you for tuning in today. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We're on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-897-2040. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.